Good afternoon. Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and today we're going to be talking about Ethiopia and developments there. And a little later on, we will be joined by Tony Leah to talk about trade unions in Hong Kong, which is very, very important subject, in my opinion. And in the latter part of the show, we'll be talking about this, the war danger, Russia and Ukraine and NATO. But we're joined now by Petros Dejeuner of the Ethiopian Canadian Network. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so very much.
You know, Ethiopia looms large in the news from time to time, and then it disappears. And that, I think, is a worrying thing, because we understand there is actually an armed conflict there. The most recent story I read in the Globe and Mail, as they were providing background, the thrust of the story was to say that the Ethiopian government might have bombed Tigrayan civilians. But along the way, they mentioned that the war had begun when the Ethiopian army or the president of the country sent troops into the Tigray region. I wonder, is that accurate? And how did this war begin?
All right. Thank you so very much, Phil, for giving me this platform for me and for our organization to speak to Canadians and, you know, raise awareness about the current crisis. You know, before actually I go into the background of this conflict, I just want to very briefly explain why Canadians listeners should care about what's happening in Ethiopia, because, you know, this away, why is Ethiopia relevant? Now, Ethiopia, I believe, is relevant because, you know, it is strategically important to Canada in many ways. It plays a critical role in counter-terrorism efforts to curb the continued threat of ISIS-affiliated groups emanating from Somalia. It also has a vital peace mediator role in the region as the second largest contributor to UN peacekeeping missions globally. And Ethiopia is also a host to about 1 million refugees from neighboring countries. So I just wanted to mention these things for our Canadian listeners. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the background of this conflict, this conflict is, yes, it's between the Ethiopian federal government and an organization called TPLF, Tigray People's Liberation Front, mm-hmm. which is designated as a terrorist organization by the Ethiopian parliament. And this organization is based in the Tigray region of Ethiopia. However, you know, it's very, very important to understand that Ethiopia was ruled by this ethnic nationalist and extremely brutal organization for 27 years. While, you know, the region that it claims to represent constitutes only 6% of the Ethiopian population. Uh-huh. So, you know, in a country over 80 ethnic groups, TPLF managed to maintain power through a federal structure purposely designed to be ethnically divisive in order to facilitate, you know, a strategy of divide, polarize, and rule. So, and there were gross human rights violations, massacres, corruptions, and so on. So after years of relentless public struggle and widespread civil disobedience, this organization was removed from power in April 2018. That's when our current prime minister, Dr. Abiy Ahmed, became the prime minister. Uh-huh. And then the country began a wide-ranging reforms, which saw the release of thousands of political prisoners, you know, and the return of exiled opposition parties and you know, the dramatic expansion of press freedom and so on, and a historic peace agreement with our neighbor Eritrea. So we Ethiopians here in Canada witnessed for the very first time in our lives the prospect of, you know, an inclusive and democratic government and the possibility of economic growth that would work for many people, as opposed to a few elites affiliated with TPLF. Unfortunately, you know, after TPLF lost its absolute power, its leaders retreated to the northern enclave in Tigray, and they rejected any engagement with the new government and continued to use their immense network and domination of the economy and the military and the money that they looted while they were in power to frustrate any meaningful change in the country. And so, and they orchestrated all kinds of ethnic violence and so on. So, you know, they also refused to demilitarize the border with Eritrea and obstructed the peace process. So finally, on November 4th, 2020, TPLF plunged the country into an all-out war by attacking multiple federal army bases in Tigray, massacring thousands of non-Tigrayan soldiers, including women. And they took control of heavy military equipment like tanks, missiles, air defense system, and so on. So the Ethiopian government was left with no viable choice other than to carry out a military response to defend the country from this attack. This was how the conflict actually, this tragic conflict began.
You know, it's so striking. Your prime minister, Abiy Ahmed, by the way, a population of 115 million, it's a major country that it was never conquered by colonialism. I want to make sure we say such things as that to get it on the people to understand how important Horn of Africa. The world celebrated the election of your prime minister, and he was won the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
And now look at this rather amazing situation. I mean, the world acknowledged that was a significant breakthrough, the election. And here we are today, the president of the United States calls a summit of the democracies and he didn't invite Ethiopia. And the Nobel Prize Committee are now giving political advice to your prime minister. How did that happen? Why?
Well, this is a very, very, you know, very complex situation. I think there are different layers to this. First of all, I believe TPLF has successfully targeted the media and powerful international players using effective tactics, such as, you know, playing up its ethnic minority status that perfectly fits into the existing stereotypes of the Western media about Africa and African governments. You know, the stereotype that African governments are these savage and brutal dictators that murder hopeless and powerless minorities.
Definitely.
And TPLF supporters began the Tigray genocide campaign within hours of the military base attack. So in reality, at the start of this conflict, TPLF actually possessed better military hardware than the federal government. I think they also expertly exploited the endemic food shortage, food insecurity in Tigray, where close to a quarter of the population is food aid dependent. Again, this also perfectly fits into the stereotype of African governments starving their population. So the international press has easily fallen prey to these narratives without considering the recent history and the brutal ruling and nature of TPLF in the past. But I must also add This propaganda was significantly aided by the Ethiopia's government's weak or non-existent communication strategy. And its initial denial of Eritrea's involvement in the conflict as its ally. Mm-hmm. So these are, I believe, some of the critical factors that has you know, helped define the international narrative.
Yes. It's the narrative is a very confused one, I must say. By the way, we're speaking to Petros Dejani, and the acronym is ECNAS.ca. I urge listeners to go to that site. That's ECNAS.ca and get information. They did get all excited about 3 or 4 months ago. They decided that the, might have been last summer, that the Tigrayan Liberation Front, or whatever it's called, they said was on the outskirts of Addis Ababa and was going to overthrow the government. And they began to discuss why that was and what a great victory. But what happened to the great conquest of Addis Ababa?
Well, that was, I mean, it was so unbelievable for many Ethiopian Canadians who know the complex reality on the ground, which is, you know, millions of Ethiopians know the history of TPLF, and there is no way the overwhelming majority of Ethiopians would welcome TPLF's invasion and overthrowing of a legitimately elected government. So what happened after those reports by some media outlets was that the Prime Minister managed to organize a campaign and then push back the TPLF forces to the Tigray region. And a few weeks ago, the government decided that the army will not proceed into the Tigray region itself to give a peaceful settlement of the conflict a chance. That mm-hmm. is where things stand right now. And hopefully we will find a way to stabilize and go beyond this conflict.
Mm-hmm. One element I want to make sure I ask you to account for is the Eritrea seems to be a major thing here, that the TPLF seems to, one of the things that triggered, I assume, their decision to turn violent was this historic agreement between the leaders of Eritrea and of Ethiopia. What was that? How significant is that, the meeting of Eritrea, Ethiopia? What's the content?
Well, I mean, from if you know the geography of that area, Tigray is bordered on the north with Eritrea, and then it has no other access to the outside world. So it's surrounded on the north by Eritrea, and on the south, it's the Amhara and Afar regions of Ethiopia. So for when the peace agreement with Eritrea materialized, TPLF felt threatened that they will not have any access, for example, to import weapons or, you know, have any outlet to the outside world. So they felt that it was not in their best interest to have this historic peace agreement with Ethiopia, because they were not willing to transition into, a democracy along with the rest of Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically the fact that they will not have any outside access to import weapons, and mm-hmm. this political alliance between the Ethiopian government and Eritrea. They considered that as a threat. In reality, it was a great opportunity for millions of Tigrayans to expand trade with Eritrea,
yes.
business opportunities and so forth. But unfortunately, that is how, you know, terrorist and belligerent organizations operate.
It seems to be the backdrop of their of the anxiety of Washington and London is that you would have this unity in an area that we all know, the Red Sea, and the, that's an important intersection for trade, that Ethiopia would become, once again, a rather, you know, a strong government, sovereign one, and that means a little less power for the UK and the US, I suppose. I wonder if I could link that to your slogan. I mean, you, another thing that concerns me, and I think people of Toronto, we've followed these events, is that there's been a really large demonstration of support by the Ethiopian, Eritrean diaspora for the progress made in Ethiopia. And it has a slogan of no more.
Yeah.
Tell us why is it no more? Where does that come from? And what about the fact that these demonstrations, very large ones, they're not reported here?
Yeah. That is actually quite puzzling. Why, public broadcasters such as CBC and newspapers such as the Toronto Star have refused to report our numerous rallies and the numerous letters that we have sent them with background information and so on. Mm-hmm. It's a puzzling question that we still struggle to answer. In terms of the government position, though, there, especially the U.S. government position, there are so many factors at play here, including, for example, the role of Egypt, which feels threatened by Ethiopia's progress and democratization due to the fact that Ethiopia is building the Great Renaissance Dam on the River Nile.
The Blue Nile,
yes. So that's also another complicating factor in this conflict where, Egypt, as you know, is a very strong U.S. ally. It is kind of difficult to understand. On one hand, the U.S. government claims that they want the stability of Ethiopia and so on paper, but in reality, they are practically endorsing and supporting TPLF in many ways, which is, perpetuating this violence. And, in our view, in our organization's view, it is in US's best interest if Ethiopia is stabilized and if this budding democracy is allowed to grow. That is where, US's best interest will be served in terms of curbing the danger of terrorism, as I said earlier, from Somalia, and in terms of, curbing extreme nationalistic sentiments and stabilizing the influx of refugees from unstable neighboring countries and so on. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, so far, it seems to me that the US has taken this misguided position that is treating TPLF and the federal government as equals.
Yes.
Honestly speaking, it's very difficult to find rational explanation to the position that they are advancing at this moment. I must add, there is also a factor that TPLF in its 27 years in power has established an extensive network with influential individuals in key positions.
Yes.
For example, in the current director of World Health Organization is a former TPLF health minister.
Yes. If I could just say right there, I absolutely agree with you that he actually should, as they say in courtrooms, he should recuse himself from any discussion of Ethiopia, because it's a conflict. If the organization wants to say something, they should do that. But that is not, if he, being Tigrayan, Ethiopian, should not be commenting on this matter at all, in my opinion.
Definitely, not necessarily as a Tigrayan, but as a former TPLF health minister. He was one of the prominent, powerful leaders within TPLF TPLF was in power.
And if he was going to comment, he should actually say that, so that everybody understands who's talking.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's abusing the office. If he's not going to say, I'm a former TPLF leader, and I am saying, well, then the people will know immediately, well, he's an interested party. Really, he should not be associated with the WHO.
Yeah.
If he's going to do these things. I think it's very serious.
And there are quite a few other individuals in the current US administration that have a long history of connection with TPLF. So all these factors, cumulatively have led to this establishment of very lopsided position on the US part.
Yeah. Again, it's Petros Dejane, and it's the acronym is ECNAS, ECNAS.ca. Please go to that site. Lastly, I want to emphasize that despite the way the media, number one, has been ignoring large demonstrations in this country in support of the government of Ethiopia, despite the fact that the Globe and the Toronto Star and CNN and et cetera have been really distorting reporting, Ethiopia is not isolated. My impression is that many world powers and nations are absolutely in agreement. I noticed they were visited by the Prime Minister of Kenya, who said to your president, my brother. Kind of important.
Yes, definitely. And that is where, most African governments are actually supporting the Ethiopian government in its effort to resolve this conflict as quickly as possible. But also internationally, there are a lot of other governments that are respecting the sovereignty of Ethiopia and to make its own decisions within the confines of international law, within the confines of respecting human rights, and so forth. So our organization also acknowledges that the Ethiopian government has the responsibility to make sure independent investigations are conducted in terms of civilian casualties and atrocities and all alleged accusations of crimes. And the government has, to a great degree, shown willingness to cooperate. It has allowed investigation into these allegations by United Nations and Ethiopian Human Rights Commission. On the flip side, TPLF has continued to ignore the crimes. The international community should demand. That is where we seek Canadian support to demand TPLF to stop its atrocities and the killings and the destruction of human lives and infrastructure in the neighboring regions of Amara and Afar region. It is several unspeakable crimes have been committed, and yet the international media is not reporting that. Yes. We have documented evidence after evidence. Mm-hmm. Showing these destructions.
But certainly, there are international forums where Ethiopia's voice will be heard. It's not like, say, 20 years ago when the UK and the US could prevent discussion. I get the impression that there is a growing no more consciousness in Africa and also in all the former colonial countries.
Yes, definitely. No more in terms of unilaterally dictating by US or any other government without understanding the complexities of conflicts and without understanding the complex realities on the ground. So these kind of approaches, we have witnessed the consequences of these approaches in countries like Libya, Syria, and Iraq, where American intervention have led to unspeakable humanitarian crisis.
Yes.
And for Ethiopia and many other countries to avoid such fate, we need to work on raising awareness internationally to make sure that countries are given the opportunity to resolve their issues properly.
Yes, as a sovereign country and as a great democracy. No more is a great slogan. It's a pleasure to talk to you, Petrus Dejeni of ECNAS.ca. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so very much. I truly appreciate that. And I still call upon our Canadian brothers and sisters to join us in our efforts. We do a lot of fundraisings to support victims, sending medical supplies to facilities and so on. So far, we managed to raise over 21 million worth medical supplies to ship to Ethiopia and over $3.5 million to support victims.
Good.
So we can help in so many ways.
Good. Well, thank you again very, very much. And
thank
we look forward to talking to you again.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much.